Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Eric.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. We live in New York City. We've lived here for 12 years, and it's always funny to me when we run into people on the subway, and they're just like, you guys take the subway? It's like, yeah, the limo is in the shop, you know? No, we take the fastest form of transportation, whatever city that we're in. And we were just down in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually going back again tomorrow for like a week.
Mm-hmm.
And down there, they do have public transportation.
The MARTA. Shouts to the MARTA.
Shouts to them because?
You said it. So it's like one of those things. Like, you know how in any interview, if you say something, people are just like, yo, shouts to.
I guess so.
Shouts to that.
Shouts to MARTA.
Person. Yeah.
We've never taken MARTA.
Just in case anybody in Atlanta is like, hey.
We just take Ubers down there. You know, that's just like.
Yo,
the,
shouts to Uber.
It's the fastest way to move around that city. And when you're down there, you're going to 30 minutes away or you're going 5 minutes away, you call an Uber and you jump into it.
Is this an ad?
This is not an ad.
Shouts to Uber.
We take Lyft as well. Whatever.
Yeah,
whatever
to Lyft.
Whatever the service is.
If you're going 5 minutes or 30 minutes, you take the quickest and easiest
transition. The thing is, we're not taking the MARTA. We're not walking. You just call a car.
I would take MARTA.
Really?
I would do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
When we get down there, you can take MARTA.
Well, I mean, no.
And
here's the thing. No, because we're being flown down by Red Bull.
Shout out to Red Bull.
And Red Bull has a car budget for us.
Yeah.
So we
take
the car
budget.
They don't have a MARTA budget for us, but if they did have a MARTA budget.
You would take it?
I would take the MARTA.
If they gave you a MARTA card, I don't even know if that's a thing, but if they gave you a MARTA card to swipe.
Yeah, I'm trying to support the city of Atlanta.
We support the city of Atlanta. We're going back there. We're going to shop at local businesses. We're going to move around town. And the way that we've been moving around town is via ride-sharing services like Uber.
Yeah.
And as you said on Twitter, we get into the nicest conversations with the most dynamic drivers in the city.
Yeah. I mean,
how about that?
We had this driver the other day who, he's an accomplished jazz musician.
Yes.
His brother.
Yeah.
Designed the Equimini cover.
Crazy. Like, we did not expect that to come out of this conversation, but we're talking about, you know, different musicians, what goes on around town. And actually, we were on our way from a Kevin Gates show.
Mm-hmm.
In Cobb County, so a half an hour drive, down to Magic City. We were going to go meet up with some people over there.
When we were going to go over there,
yes.
I had called Killer Mike.
Yes.
Just to be like, we're in your city.
Yeah.
Like, let's try and hang out.
Yeah.
And I said, well, tonight we're supposed to go to Kevin Gates.
Yes.
And he was like, I'm in.
Yeah.
And then I was like, and we might be going to Magic City Mondays.
Right.
And he goes, what kind of gentrified shit are y'all on?
Right. So we take from that.
Mm-hmm.
And we go down there this time. We're going to go to Blue Flame.
Blue Flame.
So we're on our way to Magic City Mondays because.
Because Killer Mike said that we should.
We're gentrifiers.
And we just wanted to.
No, we're going down there because we're going to go meet some people. In the middle of this conversation, on the way down to our destination, you got a text message from a mega producer's assistant.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who we've been working a long time to get on the podcast.
And he says, are y'all around now?
Now, like 1 o'clock in the morning.
If so, like, you know, come through.
To their studio.
Yeah.
So we get dropped off at the studio, which, by the way, happens to be in a very desolate area. You
there's
know,
nothing
there.
There's a
warehouse across the street.
Yeah, but the warehouse is not popping. Like, it's not like there's nothing happening on this street.
Yeah. And so it's starting to rain there.
Mm-hmm. And the assistant texts us and says, I'm going to be there in like 25 minutes.
Okay. So here we are standing outside, ringing a doorbell, seeing that the lights are on inside.
Mm-hmm.
And no one's responding. So what can you do? Because our Uber took off.
Yeah. We don't have umbrellas.
But sort of stand underneath this 6-inch cover above the garage. And so it's like, the two of us just waiting it out. We're going to be here for 25 more minutes.
And that's fine. We both have phones.
We can deal with it. Yeah.
I'm doing the crossword.
Yeah, like, I'm checking on social media, whatever it is. And to my right, I do see the door open.
Mm-hmm.
And out comes this big security guy. And this guy is just like, who are you? And, you know, we go into salesman mode and we're like, hi, I'm Eric.
I'm Jeff.
We're together. It's the, you know, the whole bit.
Yeah,
and this
the
guy
song, the dance. And
is
this guy
not having it.
Wanted to throw rocks at
yeah,
us.
Yeah, he was like, why are you here? And at that point, we're like, well, we were just texting with the assistant. Here is the proof. Show him the actual texts.
And he says, how long ago was that?
We show him the timestamps.
And by the way, like, the timestamps were 2 minutes beforehand.
He dials the assistant.
On speakerphone.
That's the humiliating part.
So
he put
like,
it on speakerphone for everybody. He puts the phone in his pocket and just stares at us while this shit rings. And then it goes to voicemail. All right. Dials him again. So he keeps it on speakerphone. Does not answer once more. All right, great. So he dials a third time.
Ring, 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 ring. Banana phone.
Why is it different this time?
Ring, ring, so ring, ring, ring.
He
ring,
picks
ring,
up.
Banana phone.
He lets it ring and then he picks up. Okay. Yeah. So,
hello?
But he takes it off of speakerphone and like goes off to the side, whatever, whatever, talks to him and then leans over to us and he goes, popular podcast. And we're like, yeah, that's us. So he talks to the guy and he hangs up and he was like, he's not going to be here for another 25 minutes. He's coming from Cobb County. We're like,
yeah, we know.
We were just there and we've been texting with him as we showed you. So this guy's like, I don't know, do you want to go get something to eat in the meantime? Just like beat it.
And so you and I both look in one direction and then the other direction and we go, no.
No.
And so then he rings the doorbell.
Yep.
And some guy immediately comes and gets him.
Now, by the way, we've been
at this place
to their studio a couple nights this week. I recognize the guy who opens the door.
And you go, hey, that guy.
He did not like that.
No.
Nor did the security guy. Security guy, and I'm not even joking, literally backs himself into the door and closes it.
While staring at us. Yeah.
What a bummer, right? So we're stuck out there. It's raining. We're underneath this thing, and we're just like, the fuck? Like, how did we get to this moment in our lives? We put in 12 years in this business.
We were just hanging out with Kevin Gates, like, 30 minutes ago.
We've accomplished things.
He was stopping his meet and greet to hang out with us.
And here we are, humiliated, wet, alone, for another 20 minutes. Goddamn.
And then the assistant pulls up.
He does pull up in a pickup truck.
And he says, get in. And I go, how far is it?
Drives us through the gate into the back parking lot. Parks the car. He was bowling, by the way.
Yeah,
He hustled some kids bowling. Great.
Yeah, said that he made a lot of money. That he wanted to go to Magic City with us
afterwards.
A great night.
By the way, so we get let into the back door via the security guard now. And I was like, hey, yeah, see, we're with this guy. Thanks for keeping us out in the rain. And you were like, yo, shut up.
Yeah, I was like, what is this energy?
You thought I was going to get us, like, hurt or something like
that. Well, I was just like, these aren't even, like, funny jokes. Like, you're just, like, all you're doing is just being a dick.
I was let out in the rain. I'm wet. I'm angry. I'm just like, what are we doing?
For the record, I was not angry, especially if the guy is listening to this. Because at the end of the conversation,
yeah,
because, like, all we did was we pitched the assistant again on the podcast.
And then
he
actually
was already on board.
Met the producer, and yes, it was... There was a positive end to this, but yeah.
Yeah, but the guy who did not initially let us into the thing, he subscribes to our podcast now.
So shout out to him. Great dude.
Yeah.
It just, you know, took a little while to get there.
Yeah. You asked him, you're like, hey, so you're wearing a Yankees hat. Are you from New York? And he goes, yeah.
But anyway, shouts out to him. Big nice guy.
Yeah.
Big nice guy.
Yeah, especially if he's listening to this.
And then the next day when we saw him again, really friendly.
Yeah.
Also, the big producer came up to us and he was like, podcast. So hopefully soon we're going to have a big producer on. It's going to be a great episode and we can all tell the story one more time. Jeff, we're heading back to Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get some dope interviews down there.
That's the plan.
That is the plan. I did want to make mention that we so appreciate everybody who went to itsthereal.com/shop. And took advantage of that sale that we were doing to get us back from Atlanta.
Wouldn't it be great?
Yes.
If since we're going to be in Atlanta.
Yes.
We did another sale.
I'm all about that because we do have to return, right?
Yeah.
So if you guys go to itsthereal.com/shop, help us get back from Atlanta part 2.
40% off. Everything on our site is up to 40% off. Go to itsthereal.com today. Also, I have another special deal in process.
Oh, what?
Yeah. A huge, huge deal.
Stop the music that wasn't playing.
Okay. Hello?
Banana.
Yeah, there's a deal on the phone.
Yes.
If you buy 200 t-shirts.
Hold on, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at me when you say that.
Mm-hmm.
Is this deal just for me?
No, it's for everybody listening out there.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's crazy.
It is.
If you buy 200 t-shirts, we'll send one to you for free.
One more time.
We're going to throw in another t-shirt.
I wish people could see me. I'm in shock right now.
Yeah, you think it's 200, you're getting 201.
The deal still holds.
If you're counting up all 200 shirts that you bought.
If someone's in...
And then you're like, wait a minute. It feels like there's 201 in here. Do I have to recount? No, you don't.
If someone's in Dubuque, Iowa...
Yep.
They buy 200 t-shirts.
We're throwing in an extra one for free.
If someone's in Scottsdale, Arizona, and they buy 200 t-shirts.
201.
If someone's in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and they buy 200 t-shirts, they go to itsthereal.com right now, mm-hmm. and they buy 200 t-shirts, you're telling me that they get 201?
You want to know what? If you're in northern New Jersey and you have a 201 area code.
Oh, my God.
Not only will I throw in the 201st t-shirt.
We have not discussed this. I just want to be very clear about this. I'm hearing this for the first time.
I will personally throw in a second one.
What?
Make it 202.
That's a Jeff promise.
Yeah, that's a guarantee.
So we did mention... by the way, do go to itsthereal.com/shop and get some of those t-shirts on sale right now.
Yeah.
We did mention we went to see Kevin Gates in concert down in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. Saw Drika.
Fantastic show.
Yep.
And we did see Drika there. And shout out to Kevin. Shout out to Drika. Shout out to the whole team. This episode is very special. This is kind of a continuation on the Kevin Gates episode, which did crazy numbers.
I don't think it's a continuation. The thing is that it gives the other perspective.
No, sure. But what I wanted to say was that, like, Drika was here for the Kevin episode.
Yeah.
And we did discuss on mic the idea of her being on her own episode.
Yeah, so it's quite literally a continuation of that conversation.
So it is what's happening today. Drika is on the podcast.
Oof.
And she's lived a really incredible life. I mean, it goes back to Baton Rouge. There's a lot of interesting family dynamic there. We do get into her relationship with Kevin and how that developed in due time. But she wasn't even planning to be a music manager.
No, but Kevin wasn't even planning on being a rapper. And so, like, the whole thing is crazy.
It is, especially considering how excellently they have done their business.
Yeah.
You know, like, they went from nothing to something. No one believed in them. This was them against the world.
Yeah, no one believed in them as a couple. No one believed in them as business people or whatever it was.
Yeah, entertainment people.
Yep.
This is a really fantastic episode. It's one of those two. We did get stopped a lot in Atlanta by people especially who were looking for advice. And the best piece of advice that you really gave to them was, hey, go check out our episodes on whatever service you listen to, because all of these episodes have the information that you, as aspiring musicians, as aspiring producers, as aspiring executives, you'll get that information from these episodes.
I honestly forgot that we had, like, because we've had so many Uber drivers down in Atlanta.
Did we mention we take Uber?
Or Lyft or whatever.
Any
service that wants to give us money, I'll probably shout them out.
Yes.
But shouts to Malik Johnson, who was one of the Uber drivers who said that he was going to start listening to our podcast as well.
Yeah.
Who is an aspiring, guy in this industry. So shouts to him.
Honestly, there's something to get from every single episode. They're very informative. They're very inspirational. And should you want to, you know, put your foot in this industry, that is the best way, I think, to get involved.
Yeah.
Jeff, when do you want to get into this episode?
Right now.
Yo, what up? It's Eric, a.k.a. Manufacturing Jobs, a.k.a. I used to get it in Ohio.
Yo, what up? It's Jeff, a.k.a. Father of the Game, a.k.a. Mr. of the Game.
And this is Drika Gage. I'm sorry, I don't have, lost it.
Yeah! Yes, your third favorite podcast to waste time with its thrill. Drika, what's happening?
Nothing much. I'm just here with you guys.
We're so happy to have you back. The return. Yeah.
Yeah, because I was here with Kevin, and you guys were, like, cool as fuck. And, like, I never do interviews, but I will for sure do one with
you. Well, thank you so much. It is an honor to have you sitting here. You were in town, on press, obviously, before, but last night there was a Kevin Gates show at Terminal 5. Mm-hmm. How was it?
It was amazing. Kevin was, like, a little tired, which is unusual.
Well, yeah, I thought he does not get tired.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. He wasn't feeling like his best, but the show was still, like, amazing because, like, he has this way of just, like, vibing with the audience. And so they were kind of, like, vibing off each other. So it was amazing. It was really good.
Kevin's fans are unbelievable and loyal and passionate.
Supportive.
Yeah. And speak their minds. And they have left some of the most amazing comments on Twitter, on Instagram, on YouTube. Mm-hmm. They are huge Kevin Gates fans. Do you feel like you have found his fans to be fans of yours as well?
Yes, a lot of them are. But then, you know what's so odd is that I actually, for some odd and strange reason, have like my own set of fans that are separate from him.
The
and
Hive, the Drinka Hive.
We both found that, yeah, kind of weird because everything that I put out there is based on like Kevin and my relationship with Kevin and the business that we have together. So it's kind of weird for people to just be like, oh, I fucking love you, Kevin. I mean, I love you, Kevin, but I love Drinka more. Yeah. Or I love you, Drinka, and Kevin's
He's all right. You know? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of cool.
What is the strangest environment you've been recognized in?
Strangest environment?
Have you been recognized at the airport? Have you been recognized?
Yeah. I mean, it happens a lot, especially like if we're traveling, like people will come up and recognize me. But a lot of the times I have on sunglasses and a hoodie.
Oh, wow. Only
because it's
some
not
real
like,
celebrity swag.
Yeah. it's celebrity swag, but I'm like low key kind of shy. So I'm kind of like, just want to, you know, just,
yeah,
go and
just
do
be
like
in the cut.
Do.
Yeah. Like, not whatever. Be like, yeah.
Yeah.
Where are you originally from?
From Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
So Baton Rouge, Louisiana, is the same or different from when you were growing up like today?
You know what? I think that it's pretty much the same. Like, that place does not really evolve. Sorry, but it just doesn't. Like, it's the same fucking, it's the same place.
What's the big industry down there?
The big, what is it? Like the chemical plants? Like that's the big thing down there.
Did you have family who worked there or anything?
Yeah,
or?
My dad did.
Yeah.
Like everyone, like that's the thing to have like a, what they call like a plant job or whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the thing. Chemical plants.
What kind of chemicals is it?
They make like fertilizer and just different stuff like that. Oil plants.
Did your dad come home like smelling like that?
I don't think so. I'm like thinking about it now. No, he never came home like smelling like that. But that's like, I think they have to go and like shower before and all that stuff. So it's kind of like, no, I don't ever recall that.
What kind of hours did your dad do?
Oh, that's like the 12 hour shifts.
Oh, man.
Wow.
So it's a lot.
So like an 8 to 8 or something like that? Mm-hmm. So was there an expectation that maybe you would have a job there too?
Oh, hell no.
And stay in town? Or, no, none of that?
No. Like, my parents really thought that I was going to just, like, travel the world and be single, never get married, never have any kids.
That was their expectation?
Yeah, for me.
Do you have any brothers or sisters?
I do. I have a younger brother. He's 3 years younger. He's actually our road manager.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
Kevin's
dope.
Road manager.
That's really
dope.
A lot
of people know that because we don't really like...
This is a family business.
Yeah.
This is
like
the plant.
Is.
Yeah.
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 So you're the oldest child.
I'm the oldest.
And your parents are just like, she's going to run around the world and do her.
Yeah.
What gave them that sort of idea?
I was very, very independent growing up.
How so?
Smoking cigarettes behind the tennis courts.
No, it's like I was kind of just like not self-contained, but like I really just kind of did my own thing. Whatever I wanted to do, I was doing it. I was a very, very good kid, though.
Yeah.
I graduated third in my class. I had a fucking...
Wow, 4. Congratulations.
Yeah, yeah.
That's 4. Awesome.
4.3 GPA. Like, wow. I was...
Wait, out of how much, though?
Hey, over a 4.3.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
I got confused. I was like, wait. Yeah. How'd you get the 0.3 extra?
Yeah, just by taking, like, extra classes. And when I was in high school, I actually used to go to the college and take classes so that I wouldn't have to take them during the regular school year.
Well, what
nerd shit.
Yeah, but no, but what was that for you? Were you just like, I enjoy the extra stuff? Or were you like, this is going to be, you know, quite a resume for whatever college I apply to or whatever job I want to take?
I was just like a fucking overachiever. Don't mind me.
No, what?
But to what end? What? Like, because you're overachieving for a reason, right? Like, what did you want to do?
Just for the sake of doing it, to be honest with you. I mean, I wanted to be a doctor because that, I guess growing up in Louisiana, that was like the way that I felt that I could help people. Because I'm a helper. Like, anything I can do to just help anyone, like, I'm going to fucking do it if it doesn't, like, put me, like, in a fucked up situation.
That's why you showed up here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing us this favor.
Yeah. No. Yeah, please don't take it like that. I am not doing this as a favor. Like, I really fuck with you guys.
Right.
Like,
we paid you, so it's not a favor.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Wait.
Hey,
so
no.
So So, okay, so it's valedictorian, salutatorian, and then third, there's no name for it, right?
God, I don't know. What the fuck? No, they have names.
Is there a name for it? For finishing third in, like, your class or whatever? Or?
First or second loser?
Hey, no, I was up there. No. I was in high rank. Okay?
Wait, did you have any title in the yearbook? Like a
You know what? And it's so crazy that has totally, like, went blank in my mind because I don't fucking remember.
You were in the yearbook.
I was in the yearbook.
You graduated.
Yeah. I graduated.
You walked that stage.
Yeah, I walked the stage.
Shook with the right.
No, take with the left. I don't think there is. Like, my mind goes blank, so you have to forgive me. But
no
that
problem.
Is facts. I can pull up the yearbook, show you my report card, all that good shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Throwback Thursday.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Did you have, like, any jobs in high school?
No, I did not. Wow. I didn't have a job until I graduated.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you didn't have time for a job.
I actually did, and I played volleyball. I was, yeah.
Yeah, what clubs were you in?
I wasn't really, like, the club type of chick.
Mm-hmm.
I was, like, the chick that associated with, like, everyone and was kind of, like, you know, I was, like, an outcast, but not an outcast because I also was, like, prom queen.
Wow.
So it's just, like.
Yo.
Yeah.
Yeah, the light flex.
Yeah.
played volleyball. No. Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah.
What was also, I remember for?
But I was not the popular kid.
You were the prom queen.
No. That's like the last resort. Like, the prom is like at the end of the year. It's like, wait, so who are we going to vote for this? Like, who's.
Yeah, but it wasn't like she's all that. Like, it wasn't like a joke.
No. But yeah, I was prom queen. But I really wasn't like the popular kid. I promise.
You had a very enjoyable time in high school.
Actually,
oh, you didn't?
I did not. Not my senior year.
What happened?
That's when I met Kevin.
Okay.
And according
everything fell apart.
According to my friends and teachers, yeah, but that's not really what happened.
Okay, how did you guys meet in the first place?
Okay, so my parents dragged me to my brother's last football game.
You did not want to go.
I did not want to fucking go. But I'm glad I went.
Yeah.
So here I am at the football game. We're all leaving. He was actually there to pick up his younger sister, who we later found out was, like, best friends with my brother.
Crazy.
Yeah. So he's, like, walking ahead of me, in front of me. And
slow down. I just want to get to know you. Don't turn around.
Jeff was class singer in high school.
He was in the choir.
Yeah. I'm actually Bobby V.
Oh, God. So, yeah, he was walking ahead of me. By the time we got to the cars, he came by my car and, like, literally talked to me for, like, 2 fucking hours. Like, would not let me leave.
Did your parents come with you?
I was driving myself.
Okay.
Because I had, like, my own car. So I drove myself there.
Mm-hmm.
And we, like, literally stood standing for 2 hours just talking outside of my car.
Were you like, this guy's different?
Very different.
Yeah. So what were you guys talking about? Apparently everything.
Right. He was basically, like, trying to sell me on why I should, like, fuck with him. And he was trying to leave with me, and I'm like, no, I don't fucking know you.
Did
like,
he not have a ride home?
Yeah.
He did. But he was just like, I'm coming with you. And I'm like, no, you're not coming with me.
Wait, so, where was his younger sister in all this?
Okay, so his sister was with his stepdad.
Okay, again.
They were all sitting in the vehicle.
They were waiting for him?
Waiting. Yes.
2 hours.
Yes.
I can see why people didn't support this.
Is he a good salesman?
He didn't get me that day.
Yeah.
We exchanged information, mm-hmm. but it took a long time.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So this guy walks up to you in the parking lot, and you're just like, okay, spend 2 hours talking.
Yeah.
And then how do things continue?
We're like friends. I end up fucking staying on the phone with him until it's time to get up and go to school.
Wow.
And I would go and see him like after I got out of school and stuff like that. So that was going on for like months and months and months before anything like really happened.
And this is your senior year in high school.
This is my senior year in high school.
So did that relationship, that friendship, whatever it was, mm-hmm. did that lead you to, like clearly you're still excelling in school.
Yeah.
But why would your teachers think that maybe, or your friends think that maybe you were going on a different path?
I think it was because, like, for me, when I met Kevin, one thing I learned from him was just to kind of, like, just be myself and to kind of just, like, let go of what people fucking thought about me and just really to just do me.
How dope
really.
Is that? Yeah.
Yeah. That's like the biggest thing I learned from him. And I'm so glad because even though I think the reason why I was such like an overachiever was probably like from the push, like from my dad, you know, because his thing was always like, if better is possible, then you're not doing your best. Mm-hmm. So I think that was kind of like in my brain. So I just was always just kind of like
looking for that validation. Yeah.
Yeah. Trying to outdo myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember your first date with Kevin?
Not really a first date per se, but I remember like the first time I told him that I loved him. Mm. And I didn't even really just say I love you. I was like, I think I love you.
You know? I think.
I was like a hard ass. I wasn't like, I had maybe like one or two boyfriends in high school because I was just kind of like independent in my own world. Like, I don't need you.
Yeah, right. Just breaking yeah, hearts, yeah, you know, yeah, prom yeah. queen,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
You have boyfriends, but this is a man, you know. Yeah. So, yeah, yeah, yeah. So, yeah. So you said, I think I love you.
Yes. Because I wasn't, like, I was a hard ass.
Yeah.
Like,
but was he, like, more effusive? Was he more...
He was like, you're going to be mine. Like, you are mine. Like, you know.
Is that what he said the first day?
No. Yeah. But okay. His actions.
Yeah.
He was like, he wasn't letting me go.
What sold you on him? What appealed to you about this guy?
He has a huge heart, you know, and he's super fucking intelligent. Like, if we can have like a intelligent conversation, like if we can talk about like otherworldly type shit, like spirituality and stuff like that, man, you got me.
Yeah.
Like, and he's that guy.
What did you think about his path? Did you know about his artistic side at that time?
I had no idea. But you know something? I did tell him. I was like, you know what? We're meant to do something great together. And he will tell you this. I also told him that he would be a motivational speaker. And this was before he even started rapping.
Wow.
It was like I had this vision for him like when I first met him.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did he receive that well?
He was just like, whatever. You know? But hey, I think I was right about that one.
Though. Yeah. Did he come to your prom?
No, you know what? We saw each other afterwards. Because I went with someone else.
Yeah, sorry to your prom date.
Yeah.
I'll see you afterwards, Kevin.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was my way of like getting out of the house. Because like my parents were like, no. Like, he's not coming to the house. He's not. Like, they just were not accepting of it at all.
Well, when did they become accepting of him?
Years later, when
really?
We had our first kid.
Is it something where you had to sell your parents on that, or you just didn't care and they'll eventually come around in your mind?
Yeah, I didn't give two fucks. Of course it hurt, but I didn't care. I was like, this is like where my heart is. This is where, you know what I'm saying? And we just lived our own life. Like, they literally, like, I'm going back a little bit. But everything was stripped away from me. Like, I had my car taken away from me. They stopped paying for school. Like, I was literally stripped of everything.
As in your parents, in not wanting you to be with Kevin,
yes.
said there's consequences to this.
Yeah. Like, that, it was very serious.
That's heartbreaking.
Very heartbreaking. And it made it very difficult.
Yeah.
Is there anybody who did support your relationship?
You know what? I have this one cousin, Ashley, and like my family in Mississippi, they were all like very supportive of it. It was just like my parents.
How far away did they live from
About
you?
45 minutes.
Okay.
And that was sort of like our getaway. We'd like get in the car and ride on the back roads. So fucking beautiful. And we'd just go there and hang out with them.
Wow.
Was Kevin's family supportive?
Yeah, they were. But he had this aunt. Oh, man. I'm not going to go any further.
Because she listens to this podcast. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what are you guys doing? You're traveling 45 minutes. You're hanging out with each other. You're dreaming the biggest dreams.
Yeah.
But you're still living in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Yes.
So
yes.
Where do you see your guys, you know, path taking you at the time?
To be honest with you, it was just kind of like at this point, I'm going from being like trying to plan everything out, being OCD about everything, to kind of just allowing things to happen. Mm. And this is what I gained from Kevin, which for me is a good thing, because I drive you crazy with having like, look, we're doing this at this time.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? And drive myself fucking crazy.
Yeah.
But
so wait, just jumping forward.
I know.
But if you guys travel now in 2019 and you guys go to Europe or something like that, you have an agenda of things you want to do?
Yeah, like sites you want to see?
I'm a fucking Yelper.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You have all the guides or whatever. Yeah.
Yes, I do that.
Okay.
Like, before we go to the city, I'm like, let's see what kind of museums they have. Like, just fun shit.
Yeah.
You know?
How's Kevin as a traveler?
He just likes to go out and go for walks and stuff like that.
So that works. Yeah. You can lead and he'll go with. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So you graduate high school.
Yeah.
What happens after that? Were you like, I'm going to go to this college. I'm going to get a job. I'm going to become a doctor. What is it?
Yeah. Okay. So I had a full scholarship to go to this school in like St. Louis, but I was like, I don't want to go. I didn't want to leave Kevin. So I didn't go there. So I went to Louisiana State University, which is in LSU in Baton Rouge.
Yeah. Go Tigers.
Yeah. I went there for 2 years on a partial scholarship.
Mm-hmm. Majoring in?
Pre-med.
Okay. So still on that
path.
You say it so like regretfully.
Because I'm just like, now I'm going ahead, but nowadays I would never fucking be like a traditional doctor.
Yeah.
I'm like so against that shit.
What would you have done if not that?
Pre-med? I actually...
Would you have gone for more like well-rounded, sort of like just general arts and sciences, sort of just like, and then figure it out later?
Yeah, I actually, towards the end, like right before I dropped out, I actually had changed my major to fashion merchandising because that was something
complete
that,
like 180.
Yeah.
And my parents were like,
the different kind of stitching, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I was in college.
Yeah.
Dropped out after like my first 2 years. And you know, your first 2 years of college is shit that you did in high school. It's
right.
Like the same old. So I was just like, you know what? Fuck this. I actually went and got my mortgage loan originator's license, and I was a licensed realtor. And at the same time, Kevin was just, he was like getting into like rap.
Yeah.
And like taking it seriously, actually like recording music. And I started managing him. So this was like 2006.
When he first plays you, or first says, I guess, because he probably said he wanted to rap before he actually did it, right? And so when he told you he wanted to rap, what went through your mind?
I thought that he was fucking talented because he always had notebooks. Kevin's like a writer. Like, he'll tell you that. Like, he's always been like a writer. And to hear his, I guess his, you know, whatever, his music come through like the speakers and stuff, like that shit was amazing to me. I was like, dude, you're fucking talented. Like, you should take this shit seriously.
Pre-med for 2 years, an interest in fashion design. Tell me about your music manager experience to that point.
I had absolutely none. No experience in the music industry whatsoever, but I did grow up listening to like all genres of music, and I got that like from my dad. Like, we'd listen to fucking jazz and then put on some Tupac and Biggie. Like, I grew up listening to like everything. But as far as getting, I'm big on doing like research, so I bought the what's the fucking music business book?
Oh,
the Red Book.
Yeah, I don't remember the name of it.
But it's basically like all you need to know about the music music industry. So I like read through that shit. I talked to as many people as I could. Try to gain relationships with like people at radio, just like whatever. Like, I literally, everything that I know to this day is shit that I had to learn on my own.
And that was in like
all in Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
How many radio stations are around? Yeah.
Not many.
Yeah.
There's just like one main radio station, 94.1.
By all accounts, you were the manager, you're the promo team, you're the radio rep, you're everything.
The DJ, the driver, the security, everything.
Wow. When did you feel like there was like, you always saw potential, but when did you feel like something shifted and you're just like, oh, this is moving? Even if it was local, like you're just like, I heard on the radio or like someone's talking about it. What was the moment?
I think it was maybe like a few years later. I wanted to say maybe like 2 to 3 years later. So now we're in kind of like 2008, 2009. And yeah, they played his song on the radio, Get in the Way. It's like an old like reggae-ish type vibe. They played that on the radio.
And
where were you when they? Where were you?
In Baton Rouge, just riding around in my car.
So they didn't give you like a heads up.
I mean, we had been going up there. I had been going up there and gave him CDs and hitting them up at the club, like going to the club with the CDs dressed up because I'm a female.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Get their attention.
Right.
And not leaving the club until they played the song. But hearing it on the radio, that was when it was like, yeah.
How hard did you go for Kevin? And did you feel like you had to make up for maybe he wasn't, you know, the one out in front? You were like, I got to go double as hard to sell him.
Because he was still, at this time, he was still like in the streets and didn't really want to get out of the streets. And I'm like, dude, we got to fucking, like, the only way this is going to work is if you give it your all. And I have to say something that I no longer do this, but at the time I actually... He got out of the streets and I got in the streets in order to, like, make this shit happen.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you were so committed to this.
Yeah.
Your parents...
Yeah.
were out of the picture.
Yeah, completely out of it.
Which, I mean, that's got to be heavy on you.
Yeah, it was.
And you're like, I'm going all in on this.
Yeah.
Like, to the extent where you're just like, let me get my hands dirty.
Yeah.
And basically. Did you... Like, there's no backup plan, right? You're like...
There's no backup plan. All of my eggs were in one basket.
who called you crazy?
Everybody did. Everybody thought we were fucking crazy. There are people now to this day that'll call him up and ask, you know, if they could get on board. And it's like, what the fuck? Like, it's too late now.
Oh, you got a long memory. Yeah.
And it's not like, oh, you shitted on us back then. But it's just like, it's literally too late. Like, there's no place for you. Like, what are you going to do? We have a... bomb ass team who's been with us for years, you know, and we're not gonna let you come in and replace them doing some shit that you don't even know. You know what I'm saying? You know nothing about it.
Yeah. So, what did Kevin say when you were like, I'm gonna get in the streets and do what I have to do?
I mean, it wasn't really kind of just, it just something that like happened. It was kind of like my way of being like, look, this has to go like this in order for this to be successful. Like,
yeah.
You know,
did you ever feel there was a moment where you guys weren't on the same page?
Of course, there has definitely been times like that. Yeah, always. Because as confident as he may seem at times, like he really like doubted himself.
And he still does to this day. And he talked about that.
Like, because he's somebody who he didn't have any confidence in himself.
Right.
You know, like he was just like, I don't feel good about my body. I don't feel good about like all these different things. And then how much did you have to like make up for that?
Man, lots. I mean, because that's really, and also with him like just dealing with depression and stuff like that, like it's a lot. Like you constantly having to like build this person up while also just like building a business, and you know, so it was it's a lot.
And in terms of business, I think we can fully appreciate this. Yeah. We're self-made.
Yeah.
When it's just you against the world,
yeah,
that's a lot. That's a lot.
It is. It is. But we made it happen. And it's like to this day, it's like no one can fucking say that they had a hand in what we have. Like,
yeah. That's and that makes you feel better.
Like, feels so fucking good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you guys allow yourselves to do for fun? Were you able to like travel, or were you able to like, you know, have a date night or go like see movies or like get away from what is a 24-hour a day thing?
We actually did not start doing that until recently, believe it or not.
Wow.
Like, cause he was always in this grind mode. And me, like, I, you know, you don't get any fucking sleep. People will call you and text you at 3-4 o'clock in the morning. Like, this is a 24-hour industry. Like, it never sleeps, you know? But it wasn't until recently where we started, like, just traveling and getting away. But, like, in the past, we would have just, like, gone for a ride or something. Like, the car was, like, our place to be, just listening to music and vibing out.
Yeah. What kind of car was it?
There's been a few. But back then when it was like an old Mercedes S-Series.
Mm.
Yeah. That was the one when everything was, you know, taken.
Because he talked about how that was like street money still, right?
Yes. Yeah.
There was an involvement for a time with a local record label.
Mm-hmm.
Was that something that you were looking at as maybe it's going to be a forever type of thing?
Oh, never.
Okay.
Never.
You were like, this is the first step.
This is the first step. And that was, it was a situation where it was a friend of his.
Mm-hmm.
And it just didn't, it was like, as soon as it started, like, I was ready to kind of get out of the situation. Yeah. You know, but for Kevin and him having a relationship with those people, it was like kind of had to like wean him off of it.
How do you know who to trust?
Man, I'm very intuitive and I'm an empath. Mm. Like, I came back here to fuck with you guys because y'all have like awesome energy.
Thank you.
If you didn't, I would have.
Yeah.
You know, politely declined. Yeah. But like, I'm really, really good with energy.
Yeah.
Like, you cannot fucking fool me when it comes. You can say whatever the fuck you want to say, but my mind and I'm not even listening to you. I'm just picking up off of the energy that you're giving off.
And what was the key to your success in those years where you're like still local?
Still just going out and still just doing my thing in addition to what they were doing.
So like local performances or like regional?
And in the state of Louisiana. So we basically like took over Louisiana before we moved on. And that was just through booking shows, through going to like events. Like, we didn't really have a lot of, well, there are a lot of festivals mm-hmm. and just like events and passing out CDs and things like that.
Yeah.
So we literally took over Louisiana. We fucking toured that thing from the top to the bottom and from the bottom to the top again.
What's the weirdest gig that he did during that time?
Weirdest? Well, there was one that he always talks about that I will never forget. I almost died.
Oh, for real?
No. Oh, okay. Oh, there have been those. But he got up on the fucking stage and just literally forgot everything. I was like, this is not happening. Because this is in the beginning and you're dealing with promoters and you're like, fuck, they're never going to book you again.
So you just hear instrumentals?
Yes. But he literally jumped off the stage and he's like much bigger than he is now.
Yeah.
He's like big and had like dreads and shit. So here he is with the mic and kind of just like going through the crowd like this. And I'm like, but you're still. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Did people fuck with it?
Were they
this is a weird like art performance?
Yes, yeah. It was.
Yeah.
It was just very strange and weird. But I'm so glad we got past that. But I'll never forget that.
Has anybody ever come up to you and been like, I was there?
No, but you know what? If we were to go back and do some shows like in the clubs that we used mm-hmm. to, we'd probably get that.
Yeah. In those clubs, when it gets like hot in there, like no, but like not temperature wise. I'm saying like you can sense that, like, you know,
something's about to pop off.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's time to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Always.
Been there. Yeah. Yeah.
Always. Yeah. And we go straight for the door.
And what's the difference between a Baton Rouge crowd and a New Orleans crowd?
Oh, God. You know what? I will say that they're really kind of one in the same.
Okay.
Kind of one in the same, especially in a club setting.
Yeah.
Oh, you're dealing with the same shit.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're dealing with the same. So you had your bass, and then you're growing out an audience. Mm-hmm. Was Houston big for you guys?
Okay, so tell you a little story about Houston. Houston was the first place that we moved to after he got out of prison in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
So we basically went down there and did the same thing that was done in Louisiana. Like, he would go out to different studios and do features with artists that were like popping in the city. And that's how that happened.
And what kind of relationship did you have with Houston before that?
None, really. We had only been out there a few times before. What were the awards? I don't even think they do it anymore.
Ozone?
Yes.
Wow.
Ozone Awards, yeah. We had only been out there.
Shout out to Julia Beverly.
Yeah.
But yeah, we started literally like from scratch.
Man.
And took over Houston.
Wait,
like
when Kevin was in prison,
mm-hmm.
what was going through your mind in terms of like this thing that you put everything into? And you're just like, had he fucked up? Like, were you mad at him? Were you mad at the system? Where did you place your emotions?
Into work and just keeping everything going. Because I knew it wasn't like a forever thing. It was fucked up because he had to be gone they literally told him 30 years. And it was like, oh, man, that's a long time.
Yeah.
But we knew that 30 years wasn't going to happen. So it's just like we just kept pushing it. And at the time, that was basically through radio. At this time, like, I was working with the label. So basically just keep pushing the songs through radio and hosting events and keeping, like, the music alive. Just make sure that
the music is being played. Wait, you were hosting events?
You were hosting events, or
myself and the guys from the label that had purchased like this club. So it was always like every night was like a Kevin Gates night. Yeah. And then in the people with the contacts that I had, we made sure that the music was still being played up in throughout Louisiana.
Yeah.
So before he went away, how much music was in the stash?
A lot.
Yeah.
Kevin's like a fucking serial recorder. Like,
just stays in the studio and
yes, yeah. And he makes great music. Like he may go in and like record like three songs. It may not all be completed, but it's still good shit.
Yeah.
Like,
was it up to you then as to how to release it?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. did you put together like, okay, these 10 songs, these 12 songs, and
Yeah. And I do that to this day. But people did not realize that until we released the By Any Means 2 while he was in jail this last time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, because I did an interview and I'm like, yeah, I put it together, da 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 da. And I'm like, but this is something like I've fucking been doing. And it's like really, really hard. Like having to narrow down like damn near 70, 80 songs to fucking 10 to 17.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
That is the hardest thing ever.
You have to basically come up with the vision.
Yeah, for the project as a whole. You yeah. know?
I love so, that you yeah. came over here and you were just like, oh, like, Kevin's way more interesting. Like, I'm not interesting. It's like...
Because I'm like, I'm fucking boring. I handle the business.
No, yeah, but that's the interesting part. Hey, gang, it's Jeff here from the podcast you were just listening to, A Waste of Time with It's the Real.
That's
and
one.
Let me tell you something. Maybe you skipped the intro. Maybe you didn't hear everything we were talking about. But on our website right now, itsthereal.com, if you go and you buy one shirt, two shirts, three shirts,
yes,
it's up to 40% off.
We're having a sale right now?
Right now.
Someone should have told me.
Itsthereal.com/shop. Get yourself some clothes today. But let me also tell you something.
Yes.
Here's another special offer.
Yeah.
If you buy 200 t-shirts.
Hold on.
I'm throwing in another one for free.
That's the Jeff special?
That's the It's the Real guarantee.
If you buy 200 t-shirts right now. You'll get an extra one. It won't be.
One.
It's not like, oh, I made a mistake and there's like the wrong number.
No.
It's done on purpose.
Yeah.
200 t-shirts plus one.
Plus one.
Okay.
If you buy 201 t-shirts.
Yeah. I think we have to do some thinking before we put that idea out there. Let's just focus on the 200.
Okay.
Plus one.
If you buy 201 t-shirts though.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw in another one.
Jeff, don't go crazy on him.
Yeah.
Everything up to 40% off. Get us back from Atlanta. Part two. Back to the podcast. Looking back now, I know when we talked about the Cash Money thing with Kevin, he said, you know, I said, did you learn things from them? He's like, they learned things from me.
Yeah.
What do you think about your time involved with them?
Yeah. It was a weird situation. I didn't quite like it, only because they didn't see him as being a solo artist. And that really didn't sit well with me because I knew his abilities and I knew that he was meant, like he was a fucking star then. Like I knew that he would be a star. They were trying to put him in this group and I'm like, no. But
what was the name
like,
of the group?
Man, they were trying to actually come up with a name and they hadn't, but it was like stupid shit, like Three Thieves or something. I'm like,
you're pulling your hair out.
Yeah,
like,
I'm
just,
like, this is not how this is going. But you know, like with him, like you have to let him kind of just like do his thing and you know, feel his way. So I was so happy when that came to an end.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is not a group.
You don't see Three Thieves out here?
No.
Name ringing bells?
Especially not that. Three Thieves.
Three Thieves sounds like an 80s, like, you know, B-boy group.
Yeah.
Like, huh.
Yeah, I was not with that at all.
So Atlantic Records comes into your life. Mm-hmm. What was your recollection of them reaching out?
Okay, so... I'm talking a lot of stuff, but I don't mind. I don't give a fuck. Okay, so at that time, now I'm going back a little bit. Okay, so me being a female, people didn't really respect me. And then being Kevin's girlfriend at the time, people really, that was like a double whammy. You're female and you're his fucking girlfriend. We don't respect you. Whatever. So we had this guy managing him at the time. It's kind of like I worked through him, you know? So we had a meeting with Atlantic, but he's basically Cash Money, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So here we are, Atlantic. I'm like, Atlantic's That's the home team. Like, that's who we need to be fucking with. And kid you not, the morning we were supposed to fly to LA to sign with them, this dude pulls the fucking plug. And I'm like, get the fuck out of here. Like, what? Only because he wanted to push the Cash Money agenda. And I was like, fuck no. Like, this is not happening. We have to reschedule it. And when we rescheduled, that's when we signed the paperwork.
Wow.
That was in like 2012.
Wow. Yeah. Was it hard to push out that other guy?
No. No. I mean, to be honest with you, I allow people to fucking, like, get themselves out of the picture. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I'm not going to push you out. You're going to do it
yourself. Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
So you sign the paperwork out in LA, mm-hmm. and are you ready to press that button? Like, are you like, oh, we're good
Let's
to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause they were like, they're, we have like a great partnership with them. It's like they've learned from us and we've learned a lot from them.
Yeah.
In return.
Yeah. You know? Shout out to Chelsea Northern. Shout out to Sam Crespo. Yes. There's a million people over there.
Yeah, the whole team. Yeah.
But it's gotta feel incredible to have a machine.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Do their job the right way, right? Like,
hell yeah. And they are one hell of a machine and they make it happen.
Was it weird to you to delegate?
Yes, because coming from doing everything myself and having to hand it over, yeah. And I'm just now getting to the point of being able to, like, delegate things. But I had to do it, like, for my own sanity.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
What was your philosophy in going into the building? Like, did you want to meet every single person?
No, not really, because what I found, like, in life, like, the right people will come to you,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
so, you deal with energy.
Yeah. So the right people and the wrong people can't even come around. So it's like, and if they do get around and get in for a hot second, like, they're gone. Like, you know, because they can't even
keep up.
Yeah.
So when you were living in Houston,
mm-hmm.
at any point did your parents reach out and be like, we see what you're doing and we, you know, appreciate the work that you're putting in? And maybe we didn't see it going that way, but you're doing it?
No, but something really crazy happened. That's also the time when I found out I was pregnant with my first daughter, Isla. Well, my only daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the relationship with my mom and I started.
So you reached out to tell her?
Yeah.
Okay.
And my dad, yeah.
And were they like over the moon?
My mom was. My dad's like, the fuck? Like, you're not married. Like, why are you having a baby? You know?
You know, they lived their life in a different way.
Yeah.
You know? Their journey was not yours.
No, not at all.
And also, the one that you led was not what they thought was going to happen.
Oh, no, not at all.
So you got pregnant?
Yeah.
Were you ready for it?
Yeah, it was actually planned.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And how did being a mother change you?
Oh, man. That's like, you guys don't have kids yet, right?
Right.
That is a love like no other. Like, even like for the mom or the dad, like, that's a love like no other.
Yeah. Even more selfless.
Yes, even more. And I had to give up a lot of my OCD ways and all of that.
Yeah, was that tough? When a kid is throwing up on you, it's hard to be like...
Yeah, you have to, like, say fuck it and throw all that shit out the window.
Did you... Okay, you're a big yelper and you're a big, like, studier. Did you get all the baby books?
I didn't buy... I got the right one.
Okay.
Which is called... It's like...
It's a red book.
Yeah, I know,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Music industry and babies. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But, I did feel my way with, like, the first kid. Like, I did do a lot of research on, like, the right things to do, but other than that, like, that was like, you have to feel your way.
How was your pregnancy?
It was great. Like, I don't know, you guys probably don't know this, but I actually had both of my kids via water birth.
Wow.
No medications.
Wow.
In our townhouse in Atlanta.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you have a doula?
Yeah, I had a midwife.
Okay.
It was just me and the midwife.
Shout her out.
Rachel Hart.
All right. Yeah. So what did you like most about Houston?
Houston was cool. It was different from Louisiana. It was like a step up from Baton Rouge. Mm-hmm. It was cool. But
that's a big city.
It's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge. And we stayed in a nice part of it. But that actually came to an end pretty quick.
I think
it was like maybe a couple of months.
Wow.
But so
any reason?
Yeah. I'm gonna tell you.
Yeah.
Because so we were staying in this really, really nice loft. And they didn't allow like convicted felons. So me trying to finagle my way, I didn't put Kevin on the
right.
On the
you are not a convicted felon.
Right. Yeah. I'm not a convicted felon.
He's your boyfriend.
Right.
You're an aspiring doctor.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Pre-med student. Yeah.
All that shit.
Yeah.
And they eventually found out that he was there because they had cameras, I guess, up everywhere. And they sent us a notice saying that if he didn't leave the building or if he were to come back, then I mean, well, basically they told us we had to get the fuck out.
Well, only he did. It could have just been
but I'm not gonna tell him, hey, you can't fucking come home.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So they
there
fucking,
are rules, you know.
So they kicked our ass out.
Damn.
Fuck.
And so from there
we had to go back to Louisiana. Man. But we only stayed there for a few months and then it was off to Atlanta.
Right. What did you think of Atlanta as a city before you moved there?
I don't know. I didn't really know what to expect. I was like, Atlanta's better. Okay. I'm not going to say that. Feels like you should.
There's love for
for everybody.
Every market is wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you for all your support.
Yeah. V103. Yes. Yeah.
So I didn't really know what to expect.
Yeah.
I just knew that it was like I felt like we were drawn to Atlanta. Like that was like the next stop for us.
And so you settled there.
Yeah.
Did you like it at first?
Yeah,
that's good.
It was really cool. They have like a bunch of I'm like a nerd, geek, whatever you want to call it. But they have these awesome as like hiking trails and like creeks and stuff. Like I love that kind of stuff.
They have like sort of like how they have the High Line here,
mm-hmm.
where they redid an old train track that it was no longer being used, and they made it into a park. Like that's what they did for Atlanta.
Yeah.
So it's like all the train tracks that go around the city.
All, yeah.
So is that where you would hike, or do you mean like actual like Stone Mountain, like going up there?
No, I went to Stone Mountain as a kid, but there were hiking trails like near our townhouse where we lived. So we would go there and like creeks and stuff. Awesome.
That's dope. In this time, Kevin's career is steadily moving up.
Yep.
There's more respect for his music. Yeah. There's more sales behind it. What did you feel was really like where it ramped up to like the next level for his career?
The next level that probably had to happen in, I want to say like in 2013, that was only like a year later after signing. And that was after we did like our first real like hard ticket tour.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh yeah, we got this. Completely sold out. We didn't come off tour with a fucking penny, but it was awesome.
Well,
just to
and for a lot of people out there, they don't understand that that's like a good sacrifice to make.
Oh, hell yeah.
Like you can be even or you can be down a little bit, but you've started the whole momentum.
Yep.
Yeah. And also just like all the product that starts moving on top of
it. So it makes the next one easier.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It gets easier and easier and you get more money in your pockets. Yeah. But I do have realized that a lot of the younger artists now don't fucking understand that.
Yeah.
And it's like
they don't understand a lot of things.
They don't. They just like give me. I'm entitled to this. Like, give me.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, we literally started touring, making I still have old contracts where we were picking up $250, $500, $1,000.
Yeah.
You know, and then that first hard ticket tour, like all the money that we made off of that went back into, well, it went to pay for, you know, like the DJ and travel, hotels and all that shit. But I called that our promo. Like, oh, we're going to do a promo run. We're not going on tour. We're going to do promo.
Yeah.
That's basically a way for you to spread your fucking music all across.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Was it hard for you as like, as you've risen up, is it harder to make friends?
To be honest with you, I don't have any friends, and I lost a lot of my friends early on, so I'm just like, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
I meet good people like you guys, and I fuck with y'all, and, you know, that's like my life to this day.
But
like,
we will never be friends, is what you're telling me.
No, I didn't say that. No, I didn't say that.
You're like, there are boundaries.
Yeah.
No, I didn't say I know. No, but I see us being friends. Like, you guys
most
are good
definitely.
People. That's what I'm saying. Like, that.
Yeah.
But I don't have, people really outside of the industry that that I don't really.
So we spoke with Kevin about this too, where there was a point where he was able to accept people back into his life. Mm-hmm. He was able to forgive his family. Have you hit that place where you're like, I understand that someone may be going through something and that's their issue and it's not your issue, and you're able to say, okay, we can reset.
I'm actually like that with everyone. Even if we, if you do something wrong to me, like, I'm not gonna hold a grudge or anything like that. Like, you're basically automatically forgiven just for the sake of my own health and sanity. Like, you can't fucking walk around holding grudges with everyone, because that type of shit, like, people don't know that, but having, like, bad, holding on to bad energy and stuff, that causes cancers and all kinds of diseases and shit like that. And I love myself, so yeah. I'm not holding on to fucking grudges. But, and if we've been there once, like, I feel like it may happen again. So just to prevent, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm not holding any grudges. I'm just not going to allow any negative bad energy, like, in my space.
That's good.
Sorry.
Who are some of the most enjoyable people in this business that you've, like, come across that you've been able to work with?
So, I get, like, artist-wise?
Yeah. Sure. Or even behind-the-scenes people. I don't care.
Artist-wise, like, I love Keelani. Like, she has, like, a really beautiful spirit. Like, I love her.
We just met her manager, who's, like, amazing as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, David.
I've never met him, but I've met, and she's just, I love her.
Mm. Yeah.
But all of my other people, basically, like, behind the scenes, because that's the people I talk to, like, day in and day out.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Chelsea, Sade, Deani, like, Brian, like, those are, like, my day-to-day people, and we all vibe, like, really well.
That's dope.
So, yeah.
So, you were Kevin's girlfriend. You were his baby's mother.
Baby mama.
You are Kevin's wife. How did that develop? And were you guys planning to be married, or was this something that took you by surprise?
It was definitely something that took me by surprise, because it's kind of like, you be with someone for so long, it's just like, you don't know what the... It's like... I like you, you like me, you know, like, wherever it goes, whatever.
I think I love you.
Yeah. You know? So, I didn't really know. And I'm not the person to, like, kind of, like, push that. I for sure did not want to force that on a person, especially someone like Kevin. You don't force anything on Kevin, or it's going to, like, blow up. You know? But he fucking surprised me. We were in a jewelry store, and he was actually picking up some jewelry for himself in Atlanta. And next thing I know, he's like, oh, you like that ring right there? And I'm like, oh, that's so pretty. I fucking turned my back, and my son, I just had him. He's like in a little kangaroo pouch.
Mm-hmm.
I turned back around, and Kevin's on his knees, like, apologizing to me for, like, all the bullshit and just saying how much he loves me. He's like crying, I'm crying, and I'm like, wow, I can't believe this shit is happening. And the guy in the store actually got it all on camera. So I don't know if he fucking knew that Kevin was gonna do that day, or if he just did it spontaneously.
That's awesome.
That's amazing.
But it was really cool.
Yeah. How did the wedding, like, come together?
I, like, probably started planning it immediately. Like,
you
any
do like to list
would.
Things. Yeah.
And I am a planner. So I already had, like, my theme together and all that good
What
shit.
Was the theme?
It was rustic vintage.
Mm.
Yeah.
And where was it?
It was in New Orleans at the Roosevelt Hotel.
And why did you want to do it down there?
So that, like, the majority of our family members could, you know, because that's where the majority of the people that we knew, that's where they were lived.
Okay, so it's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful moment. Was there any part of you that, when you're standing up there and you're taking your vows, looks around and you're just like, none of you. None of you thought that this day would come, and look at us now.
Of course. Who wouldn't?
That's right.
I mean, like, for so long, people just looked at us just like, what
crazy.
The fuck are y'all doing?
It's just you.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, we literally, every time we moved, we literally packed up in a matter of, like, 2 or 3 days and was like, peace. You know?
Crazy. It's crazy. It's you guys against the world.
Yeah, literally.
And you feel like that every day.
Yeah. Every fucking day, living it.
What was your song? And also, what was the song that like went up the hardest at your wedding?
Okay, so our song was the instrumental to... Wait, depends which one did I walk out to or...
Whichever one you're answering is fine.
Yeah.
Okay. So I actually walked out to the instrumental to What's Up With It, which is a song on Kevin's project.
Mm-hmm.
And he chose that cheerleader song...
Gwen Stefani?
No. Not Gwen Stefani. I love her, by the way.
That would be amazing if you, like, if Hollaback Girl
yeah.
was what Kevin
this
picked.
This shit
wait,
is.
Wait. Guess what? Kevin actually redid Hollaback Girl.
What?
Yes, real shit. And it's on like, an old CD that I have.
Yeah,
at the house.
Upload that and email it.
The wavelength that we're on right now.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
hey, I say.
No, I told you, I'm very.
Yo, that shit is B-A-N-A-N-A-S. Wow.
Yeah, he did.
But it was not that song.
No, it wasn't that song. Yeah. I think I found myself a cheerleader.
Oh, yeah. The one that's actually a cheerleader song.
Yeah.
Oh, me or whatever. Yeah.
Were you ever a cheerleader?
No, I was not.
Okay,
I played volleyball.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, There's no volleyball
close
song.
Enough.
Yeah.
Set, spike, all that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Wow.
So that was a song he picked, but we actually danced to Tootsie Roll.
Right on.
A nice slow song.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yes.
Did you guys have a honeymoon?
We went to Morocco.
Wow.
Yeah. How was that? Marrakesh. Beautiful. Yeah. Like the most, that place is beautiful.
Rode camels.
Yes. Yeah. Rode camels. It was a beautiful experience. And like, I think that one day, like, we'll eventually have a home there. Like, they just live the simple life and everyone, not everyone's happy, but, you know, they're happy with, like, the simple things.
Sure. Yes. Not so simple right. is
that he wants to move to Amsterdam.
Well, no, not even that. But you currently live on the West Coast.
Yeah.
And that's a different lifestyle.
Very different.
So what brought you out there and why
it's like Calabasas?
Yeah. Why out there?
Which is it's so far. There's no cell phone service out there.
None. Yeah. But you know what? I fucking love it.
Do you go to like the there's like a mall sort of thing, like where it's like
the Barnes and Noble,
Barnes and Noble,
like
and restaurants,
Italian and restaurants. Like, you know. That's like way overpriced.
Yeah.
The Commons.
Yeah, the Commons. Yeah.
I go there when I have to like meet people.
Yeah.
Other than that,
right?
No. I don't.
That's where we had to kill time after our interview with Drake's dad.
Yeah. Because we didn't want to sit in traffic on the way back to LA.
We never would have gotten home.
Yeah. It's horrible. Between 10 and 2, that's like the sweet spot.
Yeah.
Man, yeah.
Yeah, otherwise.
Picking up some game right now.
Yeah, outside of that, you're fucked.
So what brought you out there?
So when we moved from Atlanta to Miami on a whim.
Mm-hmm.
And then we moved from Miami to LA, Calabasas. And I have a crazy story about that, too. So I know you guys remember the incident, the soccer incident.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that fucking like ruined everything, man. Like we were on the brink of like finally getting into like the big festivals and booking like college shows and all this other shit. And all that just got, it's like they fucking pulled the carpet from underneath us. Right. So we lost a lot of money, like a lot of money. And we were just like, you know what? Fuck it. So we packed up our house in Miami. Literally had everything in storage in Los Angeles because we just felt like that was like just the next stop for us. We went on our honeymoon, came back. Well, before we went, you know, yeah, we went on our honeymoon. We came back. We got like an Airbnb in Calabasas because that was like a friend just like recommended Calabasas to us. So we got an Airbnb there. So we're there with our two kids, nanny. But it was time to go on tour. So we left. Everything's still in storage. Nowhere to live. We went on the Isla tour.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Isla album tour. We were in an SUV, our fucking kids on the back seat. It's like we're basically starting over again.
Sure. Yeah.
And then when we came back off tour, we were looking at houses and we ended up in the same fucking neighborhood that we had the Airbnb in.
Mm.
And it's just like... I don't know, guys. Like, I'm just led. I allow myself to be led.
Is that freeing?
It's so fucking freeing. Yeah. Like, I just literally allow myself to be led. Like, I'm not like, this has to go like this. Like, I don't give a fuck because everything is just going to happen the way it's supposed to.
Your parents were sort of right, by the way. They were like, yeah, going to travel the world, free spirit. Like, she'll go off.
You know what? I never fucking thought of that But yeah, they were.
So your parents, you know, are they from Baton Rouge?
They're actually, well, my mom is from New Orleans.
Okay.
And my dad was from Mississippi.
Got
and
it.
Then they just made home.
But back yeah, home. But like, you know, settled in Baton Rouge, yeah. Lived there, still live there?
Yeah.
So like, yeah, they were stable. They were going to be there and yeah. They were not going to leave.
Right.
You're not that person.
No, you're more like nomadic. You're just like, you know, yes. Yeah, just like find a city, plop down there yep. for as long as you need to, and then you move on.
Yeah. And so, I love exploring.
Are you, is there any city that you would have stayed there longer?
No, but I
it not, always had its time.
Yeah, everything had like an expiration, so like 2-3 years max.
Well, then that begs the question, are you getting the itch right now?
I'm definitely getting the itch to like travel, but I have found that like LA, that's definitely will always
it's
always
a nice space.
A, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll always have a home there.
Well, have you run into Drake or any Drake acolytes while like in Calabasas?
I run into a lot of other celebrities like Kardashians, Travis, not Travis Scott.
Oh, Travis Barker. Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Run into. Him
I was
all
like,
the
both
time.
Work. You know, they yeah. both live there.
But yeah, you run into
Travis Barker's hard to miss. By the way,
like, yeah, he is.
I feel like he's short.
No, he's like a nice height. He's not as
a
tall as...
A nice height?
Wow. Yeah, like, yeah. He's not, like...
Shout out to all of our smaller fans out
yeah.
there.
Yeah. Like, you know. Everybody in Houston, yeah. Everybody in Atlanta.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly right, yeah.
No, like, you know, he's not, like, super tall.
But,
yeah,
that's, yeah. But that's one thing that's interesting about, like, Calabasas is, like, a trip to Erewhon or a trip to Starbucks, you're going to run into...
Literally Erewhon everybody. Erewhon is, like, our spot. Like, everyone in there knows us. They know the kids.
Yeah,
the
yeah. Kids, yeah. Like, yeah. They got your order ready?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Do you guys see or run into TMZ people like way too often?
Or not often enough?
Not out there.
Oh, great.
You know what? It happened one time and I was like, who the fuck do they think I am?
Yeah, right.
Like, I got, this was at the time when I was driving my G-Wagon and I got out and all I hear is the flashes and this guy was sitting in his car in with the camera like out the window. I'm like, who the fuck does he
like
think
a long
I am?
Lens like
yeah and I'm like
how crazy you stepped out of your G-Wagon
know,
and they
yeah.
thought you were important.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. I'm like, but who the fuck do you think I am? I'm like,
I mean
just...
I'm not saying that his instincts were right, but we had you on our podcast for a
yeah,
reason.
Yeah.
I know, but I don't look at myself like that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's just like,
but in that moment, know. like there's no way for you to win, by the way, you know? Like, they're yeah. catching you on, like, whatever, like a Thursday afternoon or whatever.
And fucking Erewhon.
But
yeah.
you can't give them the finger because then, like, they'll print
no,
that
right.
or, like,
that
would have
been so good, though.
Yeah, that doesn't go that way.
Do
yeah.
you find them at the airport, too?
Airport, oh, they will harass the fuck out of you at
how,
the airport.
How do you get past it, right?
Well, I most of the time it happens when I'm with Kevin, so
yeah.
I just let them like hassle
oh,
him.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
You give that, him up?
Yeah, he's
I just
the sacrifice.
Let them hassle
yeah.
Kevin
yeah.
Damn.
Because they actually like there's this one guy, I don't even know his name, but he'll actually ask Kevin before he does anything and I'm
that's
like,
nice.
Yeah, right, so that's why right. I say I just let Kevin
yeah.
handle it.
Yeah.
But yeah, other times, like, being on Rodeo, though, it's like, if you fucking go on Rodeo, like, you're asking for
you're
it.
Right.
Anywhere in
yeah.
Beverly Hills, you're asking for it.
So now you're in a place where, okay, you guys are on tour again.
Yeah.
You have the new project out.
Yeah.
And there's lots of music, and you guys are at the top of the charts, and you're, yeah. you know, doing very well. Does it feel different?
It's very different because it's like... Okay, so we did the Isla album. That shit was, like, fucking amazing. We kind of, like, lost momentum with him, like, going to jail. So
right.
it's, like, in a sense, so much shit has changed in the industry, like, in like while he was gone. So it's kind of like us trying to, you know, get with the new way of doing things, but still, like, staying true to, like, our brand and ourselves.
Well, but specifically, like, what do you think was something that you didn't
pick up on while he was in jail? Like, what is the new thing that...
Like, the streaming shit. Mm. Like, our people buy. Like, that's what they're... I'm not going to say trained to do, but that's what they're comfortable doing.
Yeah.
And there was, like, a little thing when the charts came out that we were the top sellers, like, as far as people actually... purchasing the music. But when it came to streaming, it was DaBaby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was like, it's this weird kind of like, you know?
Yeah.
And,
but that being said, like, his streaming numbers are very good.
But his streaming numbers are amazing. But yeah, when it came to just those numbers alone, it was kind of like... Yeah.
So you guys, you know, you come from that, like, burning CDs, handing them out, like, you know, hand to hand, one fan at a time thing. Yeah. Now it's you go to the Spotify, you go to an Apple Music, you play them the music, you're like, what do you think about this and that? And it's not like waiting for like a, you know, a radio station or like a DJ's got to get off the set or whatever it is. So that's new relationships to make and new ones to keep up. And that's a new reality for you guys.
Yeah, it is very new. But I actually love it because... You can fucking walk in a room with Kevin and just let him do his thing and...
Yeah.
You know?
Just wait for something to happen.
Right. What,
was he always good at like, doing that artist-forward sort of, like, handout sort of thing?
No. He's much better at it now, and I'm so grateful for it.
Yeah, because you're a shy person at heart.
Yeah.
I feel like he's probably shy at heart, too.
He really is, too. Like, I feel like I am, but, like, I can... When it's time to, like... perform.
Yeah.
I can perform.
Yeah.
But like at the end of the day, like I'd rather just sit in that comfy spot over there on the sofa in the corner.
So now you are on another level and you're in a newer like technological world or whatever, but there's still like old school things that like Kevin would like to do, as in like you want to shoot a music video. All right, we're going to take it down in Washington. You're going to assemble everybody and make the right calls and you're still going to go out there and do that.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that you're like... Not fearful of, but you're just like, do we really have to do like this part again?
To be honest with you, those are the videos that I'm like, like I might just sit and I'm not afraid. I'm just like, this makes me kind of nervous.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because you don't know what could happen. Like you're not in a controlled environment.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, in the past with us being in those environments, it wasn't like always the best ending. So those type of videos, I do not.
Right.
Speaking of things that you don't like, I read an article in Men's Health that it's great that that Kevin is getting healthy.
Yeah.
You know, all that, you know, like his body's like crazy.
Yeah.
But he's waking up at like 2 a.m. to go like work out and just like his diet is crazy.
Yeah.
How on board with all of those things are you?
Yeah. Do you only have water during the daylight hours? Like,
so actually I do.
Wow.
And my shit is like even crazier than his.
What?
So, okay. I don't get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, but when I'm at home, I will get up at 6. I will work out on an empty stomach. I drink nothing but key lime water. And I'm plant-based.
Okay.
So I don't eat any dairy, no fucking meat whatsoever. But if I'm in the airport and they have like fucking tortilla soup with no meat in it, but it's like chicken broth, like I'll fucking
eat
that.
You'll make the sacrifice. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll eat that.
Wow, but what an adventure.
I am a foodie though, but when I'm at home and I'm like on schedule and like on track with everything, like I eat super fucking clean.
What has changed for you with that diet? Do you really think more clearly? Your focus?
Like, when you don't consume meat, which by the way lowers your vibration, it does. Like you feel light, you feel free, you can fucking think better.
Mm-hmm.
Like I love it.
And is that tough on the road, finding places that adhere to your diet?
It's very difficult.
Yeah. But it's fine because you guys don't eat anyway.
We'll eat like at the end of the day when we actually think about eating.
Yeah.
Your thoughts are so clear.
Yeah.
You'll finally remember to eat.
And your kids are also on the same diet as you guys.
So, my kids actually, they go to a plant-based school in Calabasas.
Okay, that's Calabasas.
Yeah. Very Calabasas, yeah.
That's another reason why I'm like, we're never leaving.
If you look back now and you consider like everything that you've done, what are you most proud of with your guys' business?
Man, just the fact that the two of us just had a fucking vision and that we've manifested, like, everything that we have to this day is something that we manifested. Like, no one fucking gave it to us. We didn't receive any fucking handouts. If anything, like, we paid for all the knowledge that we gained. You know what I'm saying? So that is what makes me, like, keep fucking going, like, every single day. And then the fact that we get tons of, like, letters and emails just from the most random-ass people just saying, like, man, do you guys realize that, for one, Kevin's music, like, fucking got me through this time or helped me to do this? And Drika, like, you're such an inspiration, because we know that, you know, that behind every, you know, that cliche, behind every great man is a even greater woman or whatever. So, and that, like, I fucking love that. Like, that keeps me going.
Yeah. Well, look, there is that saying, right? Yeah. Like, behind every great man is a great woman. But, yeah. But also, you're a great woman by yourself.
Yeah.
You have achieved things while Kevin's been away, maybe while Kevin didn't believe in himself, while Kevin was doing his work, you're doing your work. Right. And that's why we're so thrilled to have you up here again to tell your story, because you are remarkable.
Yeah,
and
thank you.
Your respect across this industry is 1,000, you know? And
that's awesome.
Yeah. And it's just, it's really great to hear your side of things. And we're so happy that you showed up again.
Man, yeah, in our $40,000 apartment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah! Well, yeah, congratulations on everything. You and Kevin. And we're looking forward to seeing you again real soon.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone, for listening to this new episode of A Waste Time with It's The Real. Jeff, you want to find out more about us? Now, here's the thing. I always think it's simple. I say this every episode. If you don't recognize my voice, I'm Eric with the curly hair. And you're Jeff with the glasses.
Yeah, the problem is that, like, our voices are too similar for a lot of people.
You think so?
Yes.
I don't know. Like, is it that hard to tell the difference between, like, Pusha T and No Malice?
Yes.
Really?
I mean, not for me.
Okay.
But, like, for a lot of people, sure.
People can't tell the difference between us. I'm Eric.
I'm Jeff. It's good. Yeah. Everybody's gonna be like, great, I can't tell which one's which.
All right. Well, you know what you should do? You want to find out more about this podcast? It's called A Waste Time, It's The Real. Go listen to all the episodes online.
That doesn't help.
No, how about?
It helps me. It doesn't help them. What you should do is you should follow us on Instagram at It's The Real. You should follow us on Twitter at It's The Real. Twitter probably won't help, but if you go on Instagram, the one that's tagged It's The Real Jeff, that's me. I'm the one with this voice.
Okay.
You're It's The Real Eric.
Yeah.
That's that voice.
Okay. What if people want to find out more about what's going on with us, Jeff? Mm-hmm. Where can they go?
You can always go to itsthereal.com, itsthereal.com for all of your It's The Real needs, including our newsletter.
Yes.
On itsthereal.com.
Do we owe the people a newsletter?
Yes.
Okay.
This is Jeff talking. I owe you a newsletter. It's been a while.
Okay.
You can also go and check out itsthereal.com/shop.
That's where we have all our merch.
All of our merch, all of our sales. We've got 2 going right now.
Yeah.
You can always listen to all of our old episodes and our new ones if you go to any streaming platform, including the one that you're listening to right now. So that's YouTube. That's Spotify. That's CastBox. Whatever you're using right now. Google. I don't know. Wherever you're listening. We've got 270 or 80 more of these on whatever platform you're listening to. You can also go to Twitter at It's The Real, Instagram at It's The Real, if you want to find out more about us and be able to tell which one is which.
Okay. Jeff, now is the time where we shout out people who are interested in being shouted out. So I asked the internet, I said, hey.
Hey.
You.
What's that say? Everybody, look what's going down.
I said, if you want a shout out on this episode with Drika Gates, reply to this message with the name of the best woman in your life, and we will shout you both out. So, Jeff, who are we shouting out today?
Daniel David Abukalp out in London.
Yeah.
Who said, the best woman in my life is my wife, Nabila.
Shout out to her.
Incognito.
Yeah.
Says Mama Audrey.
Big shout out to Mama Audrey.
Haven't met her. Love her though.
Great.
Detroit player who is not actually in Detroit.
Right. But it's in his heart.
He's a Detroit player.
Yes. Also in his heart.
His mama.
Shout out to his mama.
Okay Ray. That's Ray Rodriguez. But not our Ray Rodriguez.
Well, I mean, he's
a Ray Rodriguez.
Yes.
Why do I keep saying it like
I don't know. But I shout out to him regardless.
But OK Ray said, should I even say it? And yes, that is the prompt.
Yes. But you know what? Shout out to whoever he's alluding to.
That just means that, yo, Ray Rodriguez is out here like slaying like a bunch of ladies.
We don't know. We don't know.
I'm trying to like, you know.
Jeff, I'm not in the business of spreading rumors.
Okay.
Are you?
Yes. Anissa
out in California.
Shout out to Anissa.
Shankopotamus.
Yes.
Says Sarah because it's her birthday tomorrow. That's Sarah with no H.
Big shout out to Sarah and happy birthday to you.
Matt Fastow. Yo.
The our Stow? Guy.
The Stow.
Shout out to him.
Said Sophie.
Yo, shout out to Sophie, who is not his goddaughter, but is his
goddaughter's sister.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But Justin Fleischer, who is
Sophie's godfather,
said, what about Arya, though? Now, that's Matt's goddaughter. There's a little bit of, you know, they
godfather tension?
No, like, it seems like they've figured out their beef.
Okay, great. So, shout out to Matt.
Yep.
Shout out to Justin.
Yep.
Shout out to Sophie. Mm-hmm. And shout out to Arya.
Yes, and no shout outs to their parents. Scoob _ 75 said, my beautiful girlfriend, Star.
Yo, big shout out to Star.
Do you know her?
I don't, but I'm in the mood to shout people out.
Yeah, but that's a big shout out.
Yo, big shout out to Star.
I also want to shout out Stephen Dolsky's mother.
Yep. Shout out to her.
Karen Dolsky.
All right.
The creator, his inspiration, his rock, his lifeline.
Yes.
She loves Deconstructing Biggie. Ah, first video ever.
Now I'm a fan.
Yes.
I'm a big fan. Shout out to Mama Dolsky. Shout out to all you out there and your mamas. Jeff, anything else?
No.
All right. As always, guys, not for real, for real.
Sure, sure.
We'll see you guys next week.